It so happened that they had a very beautiful daughter named Sarah, a young lady who is now old enough to be a kalamadel, but she wasn't married yet. And they were just beginning to talk about finding her a shidduch. Let's find a nice shidduch for our daughter Sarah. It would be so nice to find her a nice shidduch, maybe a Talmud Chochem, hopefully a Talmud Chochem, a fine boy. She's a fine girl, and she was very beautiful. One day, the Paritz of that area was traveling by, and he stopped in the hotel, maybe to get a drink of whiskey, maybe to get a drink of mashke, maybe both, maybe to eat something. He traveled and he stopped by the hotel, and he comes in and he orders whatever he wanted to order, and he looks around, and all of a sudden his eyes looked upon the beautiful daughter of the hotel man, Sarah. "Oh," the parrot said, "look at this beautiful young lady." "Who is this beautiful young lady?" "Well," the hotel man says, "this is my daughter, Sarah." Now, the Poritz was very, very schlecht, and he was very powerful. As you know, whatever the Poritz decided he wants to do, he could do, and nothing could stop him. Not even the king could stop him. The king didn't care, as long as the Poritz pays the king money every year and gives honor to the king and pays him a bag of gold, so he lets the Poritz do whatever he wants. And the Poritz says to his officers and his men that were traveling with him, "You see this beautiful young lady? She is going to be my wife." And he turns to the hotel owner, he says, "Get ready for a wedding party, because in 3 days I'm coming back and we're going to have a wedding right here in your hotel. You and your wife can make the food and set the tables nicely. I'm going to bring my friends, and right here we're making the wedding between me and Sarah, your daughter." And everyone knew when the Poritz said what he said like that, he means it. It's not just a joke. And unfortunately for the hotel man and his wife and Sarah and the whole family, the Poritz has his mind made up. He's going to marry Sarah. Chas v'shalom. And the Poritz goes out laughing after he drinks down his whiskey and his mashke. And he says, "3 days, and we're going to have the wedding. Unless, of course, she's married already. But, of course, she's not going to be married already. She's going to marry me in 3 days. So we're going to make a wedding. Bye." And the Poritz leaves, and he goes in his wagon, and he goes driving off. And, of course, it feels in the house like Tisha B'Av. Everybody's so sad and so upset. "Oy, Gevald, what's going to be? In 3 days, the Poritz wants to come to marry Sarah. Oy, Gevald." And he's not making a joke. He really wants to do that, Chas v'Shalom, for Sarah to have to marry the Poritz. And all of a sudden, Sarah says, "But wait a minute, he said he'll marry me unless I'm married already. Well, what if I'm married already? Then it's no problem, because he himself said he's not going to marry me if I'm already married." And her father says, "But of course, how would you be married? We have not found you a shidduch yet. We just started talking about it. How can we find you a shidduch in 3 days? There's nobody around even for 3 days. You can't travel anywhere to get anywhere for 3 days. We can't even find you a shidduch. It'll take 3 days. And if we're not here and the Poritz comes, uh-oh, we're in gigantic trouble. We'll never be able to come back. And if we have no, can't come back, we have no place to go. What are we going to do? We could never find you a shidduch in 3 days. There's nobody around until you travel 3 days. How can we have you married in 3 days? The Poritz will be back here to marry you in 3 days. Impossible." And all of a sudden, Sarah says, "But there's Rabbi Yosef. I could marry him." Rabbi Yosef was a widower. You know what a widower is? You know what a widow is? What's an almana?
One passed away.
What's an almana? No, an almana means a woman whose husband passed away. If a woman has a husband who passed away, and she's living by herself, or even with her kids, but her husband passed away, she is called a widow, an almana. But if a man, let's say a man, unfortunately his wife passed away, he is called a widower in English. In Hebrew, an alman. Now this Rabbi Yosef was a widower. Now Rabbi Yosef could live in the hotel for a long time and not even go home for Shabbos because unfortunately his wife had passed away. And he was a widower, an alman. So he did not really have a family to go to. Maybe he had kids from when his wife was alive, and maybe they were grown, but it seems like it was not a problem for him to stay in this hotel for a long period of time teaching the Kindalach, because he did not have a family that he goes to. And Sarah says, I could marry Rabbi Yosef. He's not married, his wife passed away. And all of a sudden, everybody's surprised, and Rabbi Yosef was also there. I'm old enough to be your Zaidi. You wouldn't want to marry me. I'm an old man. You want to marry a nice, young Talmud Chachem who's your age, maybe a little bit older. I'm old enough to be your grandfather, your Zaidi. She says, Rabbi Yosef, in this way my family could live. I wouldn't have to marry the Paretz. And you're a fine man. It doesn't matter that you're so old. You're a fine man. We'll get married before the Paretz comes back. And of course, as much as Rabbi Yosef tries to talk the girl out of it, she doesn't want to hear. She says, it's fine with me to marry you, Rabbi Yosef. You're a fine man. You'll make a fine husband. Age does not matter right now. And Kinalach, they arrange the chasana between Rabbi Yosef and Sarah before the Paretz would get back. And they made a real chasana. And the girl said to Rabbi Yosef, she says, just one thing I ask. If we have a baby and it's a boy, he should be a very special tzaddik boy. And Rabbi Yosef says to Sarah, just like you're doing a very special tzedekis thing to marry me with such mesiras nefesh, you're doing such a big mitzvah and a halakha thing in front of Hashem, Hashem will give us a bracha that the child should be very, very special. And sure enough, they got married, they had a little baby, and it was a boy, and they named him Aryeh Leib, and they called him Leib. And later on, people called him Reb Leib Saras, because the father said, I want you to be called after the after your mother because of her mesiras nefesh. I don't want you to be called Reb Leib ben Yosef, or Yosef's son, but Sarah's son, Reb Leib Saras. And the father gave the boy a bracha, that just like your mother had mesiras nefesh to stop trouble from aparetz, so your job in your life, your shlichus is going to be find any Jew anywhere who's in trouble with the Paretz and help him out of trouble. Now, Kinalach, this is the Reb Leib Sar, as we heard in stories, and there are many stories about him, that he went around looking for Jews in trouble, in jail of a Paretz or in the dungeon, or in any kind of trouble from a Paretz, and he would find a way to help them. And there are even stories that he came into the castles, and he came into the places where the Paretzes were, and there were guards, and there were dogs, and there were all kinds of guards everywhere, and he would come right up to the Paretz, and nobody knew how he got into the castle, because the guards didn't see him, and the doggies didn't even bark, and all of a sudden Reb Leib Saras is over there, and he's talking to the Paretz, and helping ways to get Jews out of the dungeons and the jails. And this is the story of how Reb Leib Saras got the name Reb Leib Saras. Okay? You understand this story? Who wants one more little story?
Two more.
Okay. There was a Yid at the time of the Baal Shem Tov. And he heard that if you will daven exactly word for word with a tzaddik, it'll be a very big bracha. You'll get a very big bracha for that. You'll become very halik yourself. In other words, if a tzaddik says Adonai Olam and you say Adonai Olam at the same time, and then he says Asher Malach and you say Asher Malach at the same time, so this is a special bracha that you'll get, even more than if you're just davening, you know, in the same shul but a different place. You daven word for word. Whatever word he says, you're saying the same word at the same time. And this is what this Yid decided to do. He is going to daven every word with the Baal Shem Tov. So as soon as the Baal Shem Tov would start to daven, he would start to daven. The Baal Shem Tov would start Baruch Shamar, he starts Baruch Shamar. The Baal Shem Tov would be saying Ashrei, he says Ashrei. Word for word, every day. This is what he did every day. A simple Yid, but this is what he did every day. Until one day he gave it up. One day he gave it up. Something happened and he stopped doing it. And later on, the Baal Shem Tov saw that this Yid was not sitting near him, davening every word. And the Baal Shem Tov called over the Yid and he says, look, I saw that for a while you were saying the davening with me every day, word for word. And then you stopped. I'm just curious, why did you stop? And so the Yid says, well, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do what you were doing. Baal Shem Tov says, why? So the Baal Shem Tov says, I mean, the Yid says like this. There was a special place in the davening. Who has my siddur, by the way? We say in the davening this. Okay. This is what the Yid is saying to the Baal Shem Tov. In the davening, in Pesukei Dezimra, we say this pasuk. We say, Loi vigvuras hasus yachpats. Not in the power of a horse does Hashem want. Loi v'sheike ho'ish yirtze. And not in the legs of a man he wants. Okay, what does that mean? It means that the Eibishter does not care in the strength of a horse. The Eibishter does not want the strength, the strong legs of a man. Then it says in the next pasuk, Reitze Hashem es yireyov. The Eibishter wants, you know what he wants? The people that fear him, that have yirah shemayim. In other words, the koyach, the Eibishter, what the Eibishter thinks is a strong thing, is yirah shemayim. Es hamiyachlim l'chazdoi. The ones that wait for Hashem's kindness. In other words, if a king thinks that a strong horse is going to make him powerful, forget about it. The Eibishter doesn't care about that. It's not going to help him. If a man says, look how strong I am. I can walk fast. I can run fast. I can lift 1,000 pounds. I can lift lasers bus with one hand. Look how strong I am. I'm powerful. The Eibishter says, I don't care about this. This does not make you anything. If you have Yirah Shamayim, that makes you something. Okay, anyway, that's the pasuk. So, the Yid says, the Baal Shem Tov, when he got to the pasuk, Loi v'gvuras hasus yachpats, Loi v'sheike hoyishirtze, he kept saying over and over again, Loi v'gvuras hasus yachpats, Loi v'gvuras hasus yachpats, over and over and over again. He didn't get past that, he just said, Loi v'gvuras hasus yachpats, Loi v'gvuras hasus yachpats. So the Yid said, I couldn't keep doing that. I'm supposed to daven with you word for word, and you keep saying those words over and over again. I just thought it would, you know, I couldn't do that. And the Baal Shem Tov smiled. He says, you know why I did that? You want to hear why the Baal Shem Tov did that? Yeah. Baal Shem Tov says, there was a Yid, and he was traveling in the road that day. And the Yid decided he has to take a rest under a tree. So he was resting under a tree in the middle of the road, in the middle of nowhere. Now, about a mile away was a robber's hideout. And the robbers were getting ready to go rob that day. And the only person in the whole area was that Yid. And the robbers were getting on their horses, getting ready to go rob, and they were getting ready to ride straight down the road, and if they would have found that Yid, they would, chas v'shalom, have robbed him and done terrible things to him. And the Baal Shem Tov says, I kept saying, The Eibishter does not want the power of a horse. The Eibishter does not want the power of a horse. And the horses did not move. And he started trying to get the horses to move. The horses just laid down and they didn't move at all. They didn't go anywhere. No matter what they did to the horsey didn't go. And the robbers finally had to go walking because they couldn't move the horses. And by that time, the Yid had gone away. They never found the Yid. So that's why I kept saying, Loivi gvuras asus yakpats. So in other words, you see that when a tzaddik says something in the davening, and he has kavana, things are happening in the davening. The tzaddik is saying words, and things far away could be happening. All right? Two stories I told you. Who knows what a credit card is? What's a credit card?
Let's say someone doesn't want to pay money, so he gives the person a credit card, and then by the end of the month he has to pay the company money.
Okay, very good. Very, very well put. In other words, a credit card is a piece of plastic, right? With some numbers on it. Well, you don't want to pay, but you want to buy something. Well, you give them the credit card, a little piece of plastic. They put it in the machine, and, you know, the machine starts to work and it makes a receipt. All you got to do is sign your name, and you take the thing home. Oh, you didn't have to pay. Or did you have to pay? Of course you have to pay. Like he said very well, at the end of the month, in the mail, you get a bill, and it tells you exactly how much you have to pay. So in other words, right away you don't have to pay, but after a while, for sure you have to pay. Because it's not just enough to give the credit card, you have to pay. And the more you buy, and the more you have to pay, right? Who understands what a credit card is? But, of course, when you buy the thing, when you get the thing, and all you do is give the credit card, I mean, you can go into a store, you can buy bikes, and you can buy clothes, and you can buy stereos, and you can buy all kinds of things, and watches, and you can buy jewelry, and all you have to do is give them the same credit card, and you take everything home. At the end of the month, you might get a bill. Okay, you went with the credit card, and now you have to pay $8,000. Now, let's say there was a credit card, and you can go with that credit card anywhere, and you can give them the credit card and get all you want, and you'll never get a bill in the mail. You don't have to pay. You can get as much as you want. All you have to do is give that little piece of plastic. They take it. You buy all the stuff you want, you take it home, and you never get a bill in the mail. You just have to go around the credit card. Wouldn't that be good?
Yeah.
You wouldn't have to pay?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
you wouldn't have to pay. Now, who would do more shopping? On the first credit card where you have to pay, or the second credit card where you don't have to pay? Who would like to have the second kind of credit card? Now, what if you went shopping with the first credit card, like the second credit card? You're just getting anything, you know, you want with that credit card, but then at the end of the month you get a tremendous bill. Is it worth going and buying so much with that credit card? Or you would be careful with everything you buy with that credit card. Okay. And the second credit card, where you know you're never going to have to get a bill, and the more you use it, the more you get? Would you use that a lot?
No.
Of course you would, because you're not going to get the bill. Okay, now, every boy in this room has both of those credit cards. Now, it might not be in your wallet, in your pocket, but the neshama has also these credit cards. Would you like to hear about these two credit cards?
Yeah.
I'll tell you about them. Okay. Now, spending money is one thing. What about spending words? You are talking. You are using words, saying words. What if you got a bill for every word you said? In other words, you cannot talk for free. Every word you say, it's like using a credit card, and maybe not right now you have to pay for it, and maybe not even at the end of the month. And maybe not exactly at the end of each month, but you get a bill for every single word that you say. And you have to pay for it. Kind of like a telephone bill. Did you ever see a telephone bill?
Yeah.
you have to pay for every call, and if you make a long distance call, you have to pay for every minute, and it shows you exactly where you dialed, and exactly what time of the day it was, and exactly how long you spoke, and you get charged, you have to pay money for every word you say. That's what it comes out. Every word you say, you're going to get charged. You have to pay for it. Now, if a person realizes that every word you say, you're going to get billed, would you talk as much as you want, or you would be careful with every word? You would be careful with every word. That's like the first kind of credit card. Now, let's say there's another kind of credit card. There's a second kind of credit card that you can talk as much as you want. And not only you're not going to get charged, you'll never get a bill. And in fact, there's some kind of credit cards where everything you buy, you get money for what you buy. What if you got a bill? You wouldn't get a bill, you get a check. Yeah, forget a bill. Let's say for every word you said on this credit card, they're sending you money. The first credit card, every word you say, you have to send them money. You have to pay money for what you said. Let's say there's another credit card. The more you talk, the more money they pay you. So in the mail, on the first credit card, you get a bill that you have to pay. And you can't pay with a credit card. You have to pay with money. And the second credit card, as much as you say, at the end of the month, you can get a check. And the second credit card, for every word you say, they're sending you more money. You're getting a check, or somebody comes to your house with money or a bag of gold or cash, and they say, look how much you spoke on this second credit card. We're paying you for every word. Which is the better credit card?
The second
credit card. Now some boys think, Mama Bernstein is making up a story. How could it be these two kind of credit cards? I mean, I'm telling you right now, your neshama has both of these credit cards. You want to listen to how it works? I'll tell you, very simple. There are two kinds of words that you say. Spending money and spending words, talking. Talking words. Now, if you say regular things, you talk about gashmias, you talk about food and clothes and paying and playing and money things, and you talk about all kinds of things that are not Torah, then every word you say, they count it up exactly, even better than a computer, because a computer can make a mistake, a computer can crash, a computer can forget, somebody can pull out the plug, or, you know, all kinds of things can go wrong with a computer, so all of a sudden they lose all the things and they don't remember exactly what you said. As it says in Pirkei Avos, everything you do, Hashem sees it. Everything you say, Hashem hears it. And everything is remembered. On a computer or better than a computer?
Better
than a computer. Every word you say in just regular things, you're going to get a bill. And you'll have to pay for it. Or you have to explain, why did you say those things? And in fact, everybody has a certain amount that when they used up these words, that's all you get. Do you know that? You can't just talk as much as you want. Once you've used up a certain amount of words, you get no more words. Everybody gets a certain amount of words. Like you have a certain amount of money, and if you spend more than that, can you spend more than that, or you're out of money? You don't have any more money. You go to the store, your pockets are empty, and you want to buy stuff. Well, time to pay. Well, my pockets are empty. Well, sorry, you can't get the stuff, right? You have to pay for it. That is regular words. Now, there's another kind of words that you say, and that's the words of Torah and the words of davening. Torah words. That is like the second kind of credit card. You can say as much as you want. You're not going to get a bill. And punk for carrot, every word you say is a mitzvah. What will you get when you do a mitzvah? You get rewards, and you get brachas, and you get all kinds of good things from Hashem. And you get better than money for each word that you say. And you never run out. The more you say, the bigger a mitzvah it is. So what is the better credit card to use? The first credit card, just stomp talking about regular things? or the second kind of credit card where you can speak as much as you want. You're not going to get a bill. You're going to get a check for every word you say. What's better? The second way. It says in the Gemara, 10 bags of talking came into the world. When Hashem made the world, He made talking in the world. Well, He brought down all the talking in 10 bags. And it says, out of those 10 bags, 9 bags went to the ladies, and 1 bag went to the men. So women got 9 bags of talking, and the men got 1 bag of talking. Can anybody tell me how they see that's true? Of course it's true, the Gemara says. Everything in the Torah is true, but sometimes, you know, we don't see it right away. Certain things we see exactly, of course, we see that's true. How do you know?
The ladies and girls are always yapping their heads off on the phone.
Okay. That's cute. Now, I think in the one bag, if you open up that one bag, inside you're going to find 10 little bags. And I think 9 bags went to a certain boy, or a certain few boys, they get to share 9 bags. And the other bag went to all the other boys, because there's certain boys that also talk a lot. So, you know, don't use up your talking. Be careful how much you talk, don't use it up. At the end of Yishtabach, we say, HaBoicher B'Shirei Zimra. The Eibishter chooses in Shirei Zimra. Now, there's different ways to explain that. One way is Shirei Zimra, they sing the davening. A person davens nice, Hashem chooses him to give him brachas and all kinds of special stuff. But there's another way. Shirei is like the word shirayim, leftover. Hashem likes the leftovers of the davening. That after the davening, you behave in a davening way. The whole day, you behave like a boy who davened good, even later. So, who said Birchas HaShachar and daven nicely? I will see by lunchtime who is behaving nicely. And that will show me he is Shirei Zimra, and I will boicher, I will choose him. He will be the chosen one to get the coupon to win the Nashi, because he is a Shirei Zimra boy, left over from the davening.